every lecture that you possibly go down the road with, usually with your children, they've heard it. They don't have to hear your point of view. They have to learn to make their own decisions. And that means they have to make mistakes. And when you see them going down the road and you know they're taking the wrong turn, you need to shut up, because nobody learns in another person's shoes.
Welcome to Pause to Go, the podcast that's all about making the most of life's transitions from middle school through menopause. I'm your host, Bree Luck, joining you as we embark on a journey of self-discovery and questionable decisions. Get ready for heartfelt conversations, expert insights, and personal stories that'll have you laughing, crying, and saying, "Thank goodness I'm not alone." If you've lost your midlife crisis survival kit, we've got you covered. So join me, won't you? And together, we can pause to go. In today's episode, I am talking to my new friend, Carol Mishkin. Carol is an ontological life coach, and she'll tell you exactly what that means in this episode. But what she does is she focuses on getting women to become more self-aware and to move towards a place of self-respect and, most importantly, self-love. And today, she's talking specifically about how to reframe our relationship with our adult children. It's fascinating information and really close to my heart. So my daughters are both moving out of the house this fall, and I'm going to have an empty nest, and they're growing up. So clearly it was top of mind for me. Perhaps this was a little self-serving to have this as an episode. But I thought it might appeal to you as well, because whether you have children who will be adults someday or who are adults now and you're grappling with that shift in relationship, or if you have parents and you are navigating your connection to your parents as an adult and really examining how that relationship evolves and changes, this episode has some great strategies for cultivating a new relationship with your child or with your parent, and ultimately, let's be honest, with yourself. Speaking of growing children, I have been Googling empty nest syndrome so many times over the last month because I've been feeling a great deal of transitional anxiety and sadness. And just call it like it is. One of the things that you can do to move through the grief of having your children move on is to get involved with something creative and meaningful and productive to you. And I just got to say, if you really want a new project that can keep you engaged, you might want to start a podcast. And if you want to start a podcast, I strongly recommend that you sign up for my PodCamp, PodCamp 2023. We have 22 members in the group right now. It is so much fun to see people bringing their new podcast to fruition. And you can still get the beta rate for the rest of this month. So, you know, if you're listening in the next couple of weeks, go on over to the show notes. Check out the link for PodCamp 2023. I'll take you from concept to broadcast in just 4 weeks and maybe help you move through the grief of having your child go off to college as well. So check it out. And until then, enjoy hearing Carol Mishkin's wise strategies for cultivating a relationship with your adult children.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm well as well.
I'd love to start with the question that I use with every guest who's coming on the podcast, which is, how old are you And where are you in your menopause or midlife journey?
So I am 66. and I had menopause early at 35.
Wow.
And I'm beyond that. I'm past the moods and the heat and the sleepless nights. And I'm in the next chapter, the chapter after 65, where supposedly we're only 8% of the population. So I'm in the chapter where we got to realize, we all have to realize it at every chapter, but in the chapter where every breath we take every day counts. And every day we don't live fully is a day we lost. So I try to take advantage. I take advantage. I don't try. I take advantage of everything I can learn, and I do, and I'm interested in. That's where I am. Oh. So I've surpassed the menopause already.
You are a great role model to those of us who are, I think for anyone really, but especially for people who are at that age of just realizing, oh my gosh, I've hit the midway point, or I'm past my midway point and I want to make the most of life, but I don't even know where to begin.
There's so many subjects that really, really interest me. And numbers like age and everything really have never meant anything to me. So it's how I feel, and I feel vibrant, and I feel there's so much to learn, and I have so much to give that makes me feel good. And that's what I focus on most of the time, how I can make somebody else's day better by just flipping their thinking, because nothing exists besides the thoughts we have in our head. That's a great belief of mine.
Nothing exists besides the thoughts that we have in our head.
Yeah. Mm. Just like a Rorschach test. I was hearing an example the other day and I thought it was great. A Rorschach test were blobs that we would see. And everybody has another interpretation. One sees a snake. One sees her father beating her up. One sees mother and father beating up. There's no truth. It's all guided by what we think. When we really realize that we have the choice to latch on to any story and we question our stories, that's when we have freedom. When we realize we're a thought away from changing our emotion, we're a thought away from changing the actions and the behaviors that we take. It all begins in our head. Nothing exists without a thought.
This has come up as a theme across episodes of Pause to Go. And so I love that we're actually starting with this, even though it wasn't exactly how we intended to start. We'll roll with it. Okay. I have a friend, Matthew Reynolds, who was a guest on the podcast, and he is, among other things, a DEI coach, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, okay.
He wrote a book recently that really looks at the idea of when is your thinking not your thinking? Because so much of our thinking is colored by the culture that we grew up in, the conditioning that we went through, so much so that we're completely unawares of it. An example of being unaware of a conditioned thought process that makes a huge difference in life is one that you pointed out to me the last time we met. I said to you, I can't wait to meet with you. And you said, will you tell us a little more about that?
So we know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that our words and our thoughts have power. And every time we think a thought and every time we speak a word, we are co-creating with the universe. So our thoughts are considered electrical energy. Like, we have the ability to put in a finger in a light bulb and light a 60-watt bulb. Our thoughts are electrical and our emotions are magnetic. The world we live in is electromagnetic. So every time we speak, we are co-creating and sending messages out to the universe. 7 seconds, and this is science already, 7 seconds after we say something, The message is already out there. So our words are generating our realities. That's why language is so important, because how we speak is how we see, and we demonstrate who we are in the way we speak. So, for example, the word can't wait. Our brain is literal. It doesn't say, oh, she was just making an allusion, or she was just making a joke. No, it says can't wait. And for 6 hours, every organ in your body has that information. And 7 trillion cells have that information. And then we just start co-creating with the universe. So literally, what does that mean? I can't wait. So give me a heart attack. So let me be mugged. Let me be in a car accident. So what we want to do is choose better words to describe our realities. I'm excited to meet you. I'm looking forward to meet you. Those are building words. Something like, I can't wait, is not a good message. And like that, we're doing it all day long. When I say to you, don't forget, the brain doesn't hear that. It doesn't hear don't, it hears forget. So we change it to remember. It's just linguistic words that are better choices and help us out throughout our day. If we wake up in the morning, oh, I'm going to have a terrible day. Try to have a good day with that declaration. You're going to burn the toast. You can't find your keys. You can't find your car. You go to your garage. Somebody's parked behind you. Then you're in traffic. And we don't realize it. We have a lot more power in our world and in our inner world. And that's what we have to work on. What can we do? How can we change? Because we don't have power on the outer world.
What I realized in this last week of catching myself several times, I was going to say it, is I realized getting back to the conditioning, I felt more comfortable making a belittling statement, right? The can't wait is ingrained in my head. I'm getting rid of it. I'm loosening it, right? I'm loosening
this
stronghold. It's a habit. And the habit is that we can't just express joy and excitement completely, because that's not acceptable. This is not a truth. It's a conditioning, right? That's all. So thank you for making me aware of that language and those thought processes. And I think that really helps us move into the next section of what we wanted to talk about, which is you in your wisdom, in your sex years, you also have children.
So I have adult children, and you know, all of these years, there's been different stages that you're interested in, so you study it. So I was into health for many years and read so much about the body and the mind and the gut and learned about that. Then when I emigrated from Venezuela 10 years ago, I had to adjust to a new world, a new life, a new everything. You're constantly adjusting. And for me, when my children went to college, when they left Venezuela, it was very, very challenging, because although I did work my whole life and I'm an active person, I was a mother number 2, number 3, and number 4. Like, that was what made me live. And when my children went to school, college, although I was very familiar since I was 14 years old with Khalil Gibran's famous poem on children, where he says, your children are not your children. And I could recite it and I could repeat it, but I never embodied it or understood it. Not even when they went to college did I understand. I suffered in that place. When I came to the United States, my children were already graduated. One was living in one place in California. One was here in Miami for a while. They got married. And here I was thinking, okay, so they're married and life is great and it's going to be similar to mine and we're going to be involved. And I am in the progress. I am a work in progress. I had to relearn how to be an un-mother. Because your job of mothering when your child is an adult is over. And what you need to do is develop a new relationship, adult to adult, where there is respect, where there is communication. And that takes work. If you haven't done that in the past, and if you think, no, I'm your mother. I did all this for you. I sent you to school. I sent you to the best. You owe me. There is no you owe me. You were their mother because you were handed a package that peed and pooed and cried, and you had no idea what to do. They needed you 100%. And then they went to third grade. And they needed you differently. They needed you as a guide, as a mentor, as controller, as avoiding danger. Then they go to 12 and 13, and they need you differently. But at 21, they don't need you. And so if you want to be in their life and have a life, there's got to be a change. And that's pretty new information. That's pretty much not like the way we saw it in the past, you know, because of religion, because of Jewish families or Italian families, or our past was this way. We would think we have to, you know, we're going to be with our parents. It's a different world today. And people get old in life when they are not able to be flexible with their beliefs. The new old person of our world, it's going to be the person who is not able to change their beliefs and ways of thinking and be flexible, because we have a very, very, very changing world. And one of them is that Bible statement of honor your mother and your father. It's different now. It's not taken into consideration like the way we grew up. It was like, you know, your dad would ask you for something in another room out down the street and you'd go. Right now, you want them to get you a glass of water in the kitchen. And it's like, really? I mean, I have to get up to get you a glass of water. So there's a lot of shifting you have to do because your child is living their life. And that's challenging.
You've mentioned a shifting culture. It does seem like this is coming up a lot. These parents, I mean, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is because I have two daughters who are 21 and 17. The younger one's going off to college. The older one just graduated from college. I feel the shifting relationship. I know that it's taking effort on my part that I did not anticipate. And I will say that the returns that I'm finding so far, I know I'm at the beginning of that journey, are worth it. They're so worth it. But it's hard and
challenging.
It is challenging.
Let's say hard. And there's like another word thing, because when I say hard, I have blocked all the possibility for my brain. Mm-hmm. When I say challenging, my brain is prepared to, okay, I'm going to do this. It's a little challenging. I'll do this. It gives you options. Hard closes options. So that's another really important word that I eliminate from my language.
Great. So it is challenging. Why do you think so many of us are wanting the manual for parenting our adult children now? What do you think is the reason for that?
Or so there are several factors that I think are involved. We have generational factors. I mean, baby boomers and millennials and Gen X, there are really, really characteristics that identify that group. And part of what is the new culture that has been, you know, that wasn't around when I was young is toxic people, get them out. Somebody's bothering you. Don't even bother. That wasn't before. So that has eliminated the possibility of engaging in important conversations where we can discuss hard truths, which are important not to shy away from. But often we're scared, oh, but if I say this, he's not going to talk to me anymore. I feel that we need to change along with the changes. I also feel that our time, we're lasting longer. Parents are lasting longer. So before, a parent lasted 50 years. And so there wasn't so much involvement. And we did really grow up with honor your mother and your father. And now it's just like, if they're not helping you, if they're not helping you grow, then just stop. Also, many of these children have been brought up under a lot of trauma, and they have to figure it out. And they need to breathe. They need to become adults and be on their own. And if we think of it, most of us, or many of us, when we got married, we lived our own life. So we were more involved with our children maybe than our parents, but we need to let them live their adult life because they do not need us. And we cannot treat a third grader the same as we treat a graduate from college. So who has to change? We have to change. And I think that expectations that are not met are the most painful things. So I kind of thought, you know, I lived next door to my parents and we ate Sundays every day there, and my kids went over and my family went over, and I loved that. And so I kind of thought that I was going to have my children over for Sundays and be with my grandchildren. Well, one lived in California and one went to California too. So how do we adapt to these changing times, and how do we feel good about it? Because ultimately, we end up feeling bad and blaming ourselves and shaming ourselves because we don't know how to communicate. And it's about communicating, not as the mother that I have to tell you what to do and you have to hear my advice, but it's an interchange of adult to adult. And that's what needs to be worked on.
So how do you do that?
You listen more than you talk. We have two ears and one mouth. Every lecture that you possibly go down the road with, usually with your children, they've heard it. They don't have to hear your point of view. They have to learn to make their own decisions. And that means they have to make mistakes. And when you see them going down the road and you know they're taking the wrong turn, you need to shut up, because nobody learns in another person's shoes. Sometimes we have to go through the experience itself to come out to the other side. It's not our job anymore. And that is a belief that goes against what we were brought up with, because we thought, oh no, little children, little problems, big children, big problems. No, they're not your problem anymore. And if he can't pay his lease and he has to go to jail, then he has to go to jail. It's not your job to bail him. And that is how he's going to learn. And it's difficult. But if we realize that in the long run, that's what needs to be, that's what we need to do. That's one of the things, okay?
Whew, that's intense. I'd like to just pause there for a moment, yes, if we can, because I think about how my generation of parents, we have been in the thick of this helicopter parenting. Like, my peers are the helicopter parents of the world. So I would say that we are overly involved in our children's lives. So do you recommend like stopping that cold turkey at a certain time, or sort of gradually working our kids to a place of independence?
If they already went to college, they're already making their own beds. They're deciding where they're going to sleep, what they're going to eat. They already have an independence, whether you want to admit it or not, whether they make bad decisions or not. They are already independent. You are not asking them, what did you have for lunch? What time did you wake up? I mean, you're not going through the daily conversations that you have with little children. I don't think there's formulas for anything, you know? And I think everybody is as unique as their fingerprint. So what's your case? How is it? What do you think is going on? And where do you have to change? Basically, I'm an ontological coach, and ontology is the study of self. And one of our bases is you cannot change anybody else. You can only change yourself and the way you look at the other person. So what I think when our children are adult, it's a time to focus the light within, and it's a time to reinvent yourself, because that job, because mothering is not even a role, is what I'm learning. It's just a relationship. So that relationship that you had of nurturing and taking care of and being worried about and everything that you did, that's done. Can you accept that? Can you accept that you did your job? And if you want to continue a relationship from here on, you need to change. And the relationship rules need to change. And those we can negotiate with our child respectfully. What we want mostly is never to close the doors of communication. Be a better listener. So our role can become a mentor if we are asked for, because nobody wants advice that is not asked for, and nobody's going to listen to it. But if somebody says, look, I'm in this bind, what do you think? Then you can speak. Otherwise, we lost that right. Doesn't matter what you did for your kid. Doesn't matter if you broke your back working to put them through colleges. You chose that. Nobody told you to do that. That was your choice. Now we've got to cut the strings. And how we do that, whether it's gradually or not, it's our work. There's not a formula. It's just, how are you feeling in this? What more do you need to do on you? Because if you're not well, then you're in a communication and your hurts are going to come out and your triggers are going to come out. So find yourself again as a woman, as a wife, if you are a wife, and as an individual, that your life has not ended. It is beginning in a new way. How are you going to reinvent yourself? What a wonderful gift to be able to reinvent yourself once again when your children are gone and do your own things and find your own interests. How many weekends and how many trips did you not take and go to places because of your kids? Well, it's your turn to live now. Live.
Whew. That's a big one. It's one of those things that's like, oh, there is so much opportunity here. And also, I think it's okay. I'm in the thick of it right now, right? I am in the thick of this transitional time with my children. I'm about to have an empty nest. And the way that I have reframed it for myself is I get to start a new job. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about my new job. Also, I really liked a lot of things about my old job. So how can I ritualize the ending of that for myself, right? It doesn't even involve my kids. How can I ritualize for myself the ending of this mother career path that was one of many careers, but this mother job that I have? How can I, let me throw myself a really great retirement party from that. And I don't mean that, maybe I mean it literally, but I really mean
to celebrate it. Hey, yeah. I did my job. It's over. I'm done. You're now on your own. Maybe we have to do that, you know. But I think most of all, it's an awareness. It's coming to terms with the fact that our job is over. Mm-hmm. And like I posted today, okay, what do I dislike about parenting adult children? And some of the things, they don't listen. They know everything. Yeah, that's the way it is. So we can't change the other. How do I make myself happy? I mean, there can be sadness in this process, because you know what? everybody responds differently. As I work with so many women, some are so joyful that their kids are gone. Look, I'm really ready for this stage. I'm planning to go with my husband here, or I'm going to do this. So many are joyful. So it's not even challenging for everybody. It's challenging, I think, for us that really wanted to be a mother and that we identified so much with that role. And we loved it because I dreamt of being a mother since I was 3 years old. So it's, how do I learn to unmother? How do I learn to go from a mother to a mentor, to a friend, to nice moments? How can you engage in nice moments? Because nice moments create good conversations. How can I engage in good questions? Questions are crucial. Hey, that new tattoo, why'd you choose an alligator? Tell me a little bit about that. You know, it's like engage in topics that they're interested in. Because if you realize it often when you're going to go talk with them, you're going to go talk about yourself. And I just learned this and I did this. No, we want to hear about it. They want to hear you acknowledging their steps. And this is a really tricky one because anything you tell an adult child, it's automatically taken as a criticism. You're not criticizing, you're making a statement. But for them, it's a criticism. Now that has to do with them. But if you want to engage in a good relationship, there has to be a respect of that. I don't have to tell you anymore what you should do or what you shouldn't do. If you want to know what I think, can I give you my opinion? Are you interested in my opinion? But if not, it's not your choice to give it anymore. And that is challenging because change is not one of our greatest gifts for most of us to change because we like our comfort zone. And this involves a very, very big change.
We know that when we're at the edge of growth, when we're at that leading edge or that learning edge, it is uncomfortable, and it's okay to be a little uncomfortable, and we can sit with that. Carol, when you mentioned asking them, would you like my opinion on this?
Would you like how I think about it? Would you like my point of view?
So one of the things that I've been implementing with some success with my own kids is I work to not offer opinions or advice or thoughts unless they have expressly asked for it. And when they are sharing something, I will often ask, would you like me to just listen? Would you like me to help you strategize a solution for this? Or are you looking for feedback? And I let them navigate what that looks like. And there may be a little bit of eye rolling because it's like, oh, mom, you're using your, psycho babble talk on me again. That's okay. Like I'm not taking that personally. I know that it's letting them set a boundary that I can then work within. And it also ensures that I'm not going to get my feelings hurt because I think that they're asking for something that they're not asking for.
That's a really great strategy. Very good. And it's a beginning because there might be days you don't feel like saying it, but you need to keep working on that because that's the goal. That's the goal if you want to have good communication. And depending how she reacts says more about her than you. So there might be some days where she'll right away, no, I really want you to give me a strategy. And then there's some days that she again gets into that little girl and here's my mom using her psychology to try. So it has nothing to do with you. So, which rule I think is so helpful in dealing with adult children, and it's very challenging. Don't take things personally. Anything they say or do has nothing to do with you. And this doesn't only go for our children. It goes for everybody in life. Every conversation that you have, that person is talking from their space. And if you get insulted, that's your space. And you can't take things personal. And that's challenging. But That's what we have to do. Because if we think, okay, he just lashed out, but it's not me. She's going through a tough moment with changing jobs, with his new baby, with even being an adult. Because how many times do you feel like creeping back into the womb? You know, we all feel like that at times. So maybe the attitude has to be, it's okay. Whatever it is, it's okay. What's not okay is abuse, because there's a lot of children that are not kind, abusive, and that is where boundaries come in. Your rights end where mine begin. Do whatever you want in your house, speak whatever you want, but in my house, we don't whatever. And so since we are now relating as an adult to an adult, this is what I want. I think a really, really wonderful beginning place is a communication where you say to your child, look, I want to hear what it is that bugs you about me, what it is you'd like me to change, what it is. I am not going to interrupt you. I am not going to defend myself. I just want to listen because I want to improve, because I want to have a great relationship with you. And when that's done, when that conversation's done, you don't have to say it at that moment. You can say, can I talk now? Because we also have things that bother us. You know, it really bothers me when you hang up on me in the middle of a conversation. Or it really bothers me when you come here and you just pretend this house was like yours and you leave this here and you leave this here and you start speaking really loud on your phone. If we're going to have an honest relationship, I need to be allowed as well. But start with listening to them. And that's important because we can't change what we don't know. So if I don't know that it really bugs you every time I say such and such, then tell me about it and I'll work on it, you know.
I love the way that you just described the things that bugged you or bothered you. I noticed they were always the thing. They were always the behavior, never the person. And I think that that's a really important shift, speaking of language. And sometimes our children may not speak to us that way. So it may be important to reframe it. I know that would help me take it less personally. So let's say this is not calling out either of my kids. I'm just using this as a hypothetical example. The hypothetical example is, Mom, you're stressing me out, right? What they really mean by that is, Mom, the way that we're talking about this right now, or Mom, the way that you're coming at me with this information right now, I'm feeling stressed in this moment from this, or I'm just not in a place to deal with this right now. Can we find another way? But when it's, Mom, you're stressing me out, it's easy to take that personally. So something that I know might be helpful for me and maybe for other people who do tend to take things personally is to take a moment to parse the language. Carol is so good at that, to parse the language and to look and think, all right, this is really about behavior. This is where language is letting us down. Let's change the language to something we can work with here. Would you say that that's accurate? And am I reflecting some of your language focus there?
For sure. For sure. Like she says, you're stressing me out. Who has the problem there? She does. Mm-hmm. But are you going to make her realize that? No. Okay. What exactly that I said bugged you? Because I was just saying how I saw things. Mom, I just don't want to talk about it now. Take that as a no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Don't talk anymore. Mm-hmm. Just because we have to respect them. And if you saw a friend and you met a friend on the street and you started talking and they said to you, please don't talk about that subject anymore, you wouldn't continue. So you don't have a right to continue with your kids. That right, you know what? You're going to listen to me now. It's over. You know, we can't do that anymore. And it's important to know that, hey, you're living in my house. No, I'm letting you live here. So, but that's a lot of things that has to change. Right now, 35% of the people over 18 years old have moved back home. This is the first time we're seeing this in our society. So as they move back home, there's got to be changes because you're not moving home as the little child. You do your wash. You contribute with a weekly meal. This day you do this. We've got to give them responsibilities. And a lot of the information that I've been getting is we've got to be really, really careful on what we pay, because part of them growing up is becoming independent in all senses. Okay. Another very big problem today that's happening that is very strange from before is, I don't know how they got the statistic, but they said over 27%. So I imagine it's much more, but over 27% of the families in the United States have estranged relationships with their children. A mother that hasn't spoken 4 years to her daughter, 3 years to her son. And back to what I said before, we live in a society where it's okay now. Your parents were bad, they were abused, get rid of them, get rid of them. And that was not what was happening in therapy offices 20 and 30 years ago. Look, you gotta work it out. No, not anymore. So that's sad. And it's a subject that women don't like to talk about because there's a lot of shame and guilt involved in not having good relationships with your adult children. Mm. And it's funny because I'd say I'll go to a lunch with a bunch of new women and all of a sudden I'll start telling a story. Well, our meal has finished with everyone telling another story of their daughter-in-law or son-in-law and how they feel, that you're saying, this is a problem today and we don't talk about it. In fact, one of the podcasts I heard, the man said that we have epidemic levels of estrangement and bad relationships in adult children. So we've got to start tackling this. We've got to start speaking about what happens at 21. And moms and dads, you got to change your expectations and you've got to change your relationships, not roles. Because one of the things I learned is that there are no maternal roles. We make the role we want. Now it's about a relationship because you don't have a job. You don't have a candle in that party anymore, you know? So you have to do the changing.
I love that you brought up that sense of connecting with community, with connecting with others. That is a way to heal. We know this, that if we feel less alone in our struggles, then it helps us. It helps us. It takes shame away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know what? Also, just the same as Instagram and all the social media, we see the people in their best clothes with their best faces. So you might see you're having trouble in your relationship and then you see this other mom and you see how well she gets along with her daughter or with her married son and you're envious, you know, not bad envious, but you wish that was yours. And it's just not that way. But they don't talk about it and they're good actors. So as I said, when I start talking with other women, I get, oh, and you should hear my story. So it's on the burner, but we're not talking about it enough. It is going to be a big issue now because we have more people talking. We have more people saying, hey, my daughter doesn't talk to me. Hey, I haven't seen my son in 5 years. So it is becoming an issue that needs to be addressed. And we as women need to get the help to get through it. Because first of all, we have a whole life to live after our children grow up. Do you know that? Do you know that it's your turn to blossom and become as an individual? You know, and that's the shift we have to make in our thinking.
So yes. How can people work with you?
So I offer right now, I have a special offer of a 75-minute solution to have better conversations on the phone. So I'm giving a couple offers. Let me tell you, my webpage is www.carolmishkin.com. And if I can get it to you afterwards, I'll get you the links of these new offers. I plan on July 20th, I'm going to have a free workshop regarding conversations with our children. And then in August, I plan to have a series of navigating our relationships, how we can improve them, and how we can improve ourselves, because it's about taking over yourself right now and doing your part of the work. Oftentimes, people don't know what's lacking and what's missing, and they always think the work is outside. The work is inside.
It's an inside job.
It's an inside job, yeah.
Well, Carol, I will put all of your links in the show notes, and I'll also try to look up those statistics so I can give a little more information. Thank you for doing this work. Thank you for helping me to think about my relationships and language, my relationships to my children, but also really my relationship to myself and my thoughts and language. It's already making a difference. So thank you.
Happy. Thank you for the chance to speak about this such important subject. And it was great. I loved it.
Here's my call to action for this episode. That's what they call it when I'm trying to get you to do something. I want you to do something, and that is to share your story. So if you would like to share an experience of your midlife delights, agony, or just plain humor, you can leave me a voice memo on my new website, pause2gopodcast.com. There's a tab on the right side of the website that says something like, leave me a voice memo. And you can just record a voice memo for me right there and I'll get it. And if you feel comfortable having me share your voice on the pod, then I can share that with everyone. It's so nice to hear other people's voices. But if you don't feel comfortable having me share your voice, I can just anonymously share your story. It'll be great to have your stories on the Pause to Go podcast. All right, stay curious, y'all. Here are my key takeaways from this episode with Carol Mishkin. Number one, consider shifting your language and thoughts to create a more positive and empowering mindset. Replace negative phrases like can't wait with more positive alternatives such as excited or looking forward to. Number two, reflect on your relationship with your adult child and consider the need for a shift in dynamics. Use this as an opportunity to develop a new relationship as adults based on respect and open communication. Number three, listen more than you talk when communicating with your adult children, allowing for meaningful interchange of ideas and perspectives. And number four, embrace the changing culture and generational factors, understanding that the parenting landscape has evolved and you can adapt to the changing times and let your adult children live their own lives. Thank you for listening to the Pause to Go podcast. Special thanks to Codebase Coworking and WTJU Radio for their support. This has been an Awkward Sage production.